Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of Between the Horns. Miles Simmons with me is DeMarco Farr. It is 11:20 a.m. Pacific time, May 2nd, almost May 4th.
Really?
Almost May the 4th be with you.
Almost May the 4th be with you.
Yeah, I know.
It's May 2nd, isn't it?
It's May 2nd.
Okay, it's almost May 3rd.
It's almost May 3rd, but it's almost
May 4th. So it's almost May 4th. I got you. Okay.
Yes.
And the 5th and the
6th. We both have an appreciation.
It's almost June.
It is almost June. We both have an appreciation for Star Wars Day.
Yes.
On this podcast.
Big time.
Good to be back with you guys. If you missed the last podcast where we went through pick by pick through the entire NFL draft for the Los Angeles Rams, they got 11 players. That was a good podcast. I feel like you should go back and listen to that. We are going to talk a little bit more draft today, as well as some other topics as it relates to the Los Angeles Rams and maybe some other random things that we decided to talk about.
Now that we're through the process of selecting, now we know who they are and how do they fit on this football team. So I guess we'll attack that. You looked really tired after the draft. That was a crazy process when you think a team really doesn't have a first rounder. It should be a little bit easier, but it was almost harder.
Well, I think it was harder in the fact that you had 11 picks to cover, 10 of them in one day.
Yeah.
You know, and there were trades going on and all these different things. And being sitting in the draft room and trying to document things, you know, note by note. And obviously there's going to be this series that we have on therams.com inside the draft room. You can read all about what was going on in there from my perspective since I was sitting in there. But I guess just trying to take down notes of every little thing that was going on in there.
There's a lot. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a lot of moving parts.
And so not only that, but, you know, trying to communicate to our teams, okay, this is who the pick is probably going to be. It might be this guy. Then it was, oh, no, we traded. And then it's, I'm sorry, I don't know exactly what we're getting back yet. But I'm trying to figure this out. So it was, I guess from that perspective, it was kind of a tiring process.
So if Les Snead and Sean McVay spun around and said, Miles, what do you think of this guy? Would you be honest? would you tell them exactly how you feel about the athlete or would you lie? Would you tell them what they wanted to hear?
Well, I wouldn't know the answer.
Oh, okay.
First of all, if you did. If I did, I mean, like, first of all, why would they do that?
I'm just, you know.
I know you're going through a hypothetical
situation.
Maybe
they needed your opinion at the time.
What in the world?
Maybe you were the tiebreaker.
Maybe it was
50-50 and you were the tiebreaker.
You know,
Miles, what do you think?
You know how many scouts, personnel people, directors of
there's a finite
things,
number and it might be equal. What if it's like 50-50 and you needed to be the tiebreaker?
Then I believe that the general manager would probably trust his own instincts.
Like Miles, what do you think of Joseph Noteboom? We're going to pick him. You got 10 seconds.
I'm in.
That's the safe answer. Right?
See, yes, exactly. As we mentioned on the last podcast, our disembodied voice, Matt, is a TCU alumnus.
Go Frogs.
Wow.
Yes, so Matt, you were very happy.
Good player, man.
Very,
very good player. I hope you can replace him at TCU.
I mean,
I hope you got a good left tackle.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. We lost our quarterback, too. We lost a lot, so it's going to be a interesting year.
That's what happens. Yeah.
There was,
good pick.
I will say this. At one point, Les Snead did come up to me and he was like, hey man, what do you think?
Were
like,
you nervous?
You having fun? I don't know if I was nervous. No, I wouldn't say I was nervous.
Okay, good.
Because he didn't approach me like, what are you doing in here? Get out. It was like, hey Miles.
That was scary.
That
was scary. Whatever that was scary.
That's my
That's you on stage.
I am powerful.
Yes. I am powerful.
I am powerful, and I'm going to bully you in some way.
All right.
That's what that is.
Let's get to football now.
Yeah.
You're scaring me.
I was talking about football.
No, I'm just kidding. Good draft, man. Yeah. I mean, and I think that Joseph Noteboom kind of said what we said when they asked him about Andrew Whitworth. I'm going to soak up as much knowledge as I can from him.
Yes, he did.
That's the exact right approach. Everything he does. And not just on the field. It could be what he eats, when he eats, when he works out, how he works out. Because I'm sure Andrew Whitworth now is not Andrew Whitworth when he was a rookie and how he works out. So there's going to be some pearls of wisdom that he can just, you know, help a young kid out. I could jumpstart your career from 1 to 5 if you just do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
It's like you're talking to yourself. That's what happens when you draft kids this late. this late in your career that are playing your position. It's like you see yourself come through the door. It's odd in professional football.
Is that a good thing sometimes or a bad thing?
It's a good thing for him because I think Witt knows what's up. He's going to play. He's the guy. And there's a lot left for him to do, but, I mean, he's not going to be in the league that much longer. So,
right.
Now, 5, 6, 7 years ago, if you've done this, now it's all competition. I've got nothing to say to you. Mm-hmm. You're trying to take my job. You're trying to take food off my table. Now it's a little bit different. You might want to help some of these guys on the way out.
Right. There's a difference, I think, in the way Whitworth might approach this versus the way Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh might approach the way things are going on with Rudolph. Do you see what Roethlisberger said?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if he's going to be the guy, it's not going to be for a while.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice of Ben to say, but actually Ben doesn't make that choice.
This is true.
Yeah. I mean, the Steelers could have other plans.
The Steelers could have other plans. Father Time could have other plans.
True.
Father Time is also undefeated.
But if I was a coach, if I was Mike Tomlin, that's the exact right answer. Of my athlete.
Yes.
If I'm putting competition around him, I want that to come out.
Yes.
Yeah, I want him to let people know it's not going to be easy to supplant me as the starter.
Yeah, I saw a really funny tweet from Steelers Depot yesterday after that whole thing with Ben Roethlisberger came out. And you know Wolf of Wall Street, yes?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, basically, so he just tweeted the quote from Leo DiCaprio, a.k.a. Jordan Belfort, in the movie where he's standing up there and he's like, I'm not leaving!
Right, that's
him. I'm not leaving!
That's him.
Yeah. Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right.
That's what Ben Roethlisberger was essentially doing in that
moment.
We'll
see, but that's the exact right approach. So, I mean, you don't want to hand somebody your job.
No, never.
Yeah.
Especially at that position, which, I mean, by all accounts, is the most difficult position in sports and the most important position in sports.
It used to bother me when guys never welcomed competition. Like, they had so much sway with the football team that they can actually influence a draft. That bothered me. Like, don't draft another running back or don't draft another receiver. I won't like it. Well, I don't care what you don't like. I don't. I'm going to draft the guys I want to put on this football team, and you're going to have to compete. May the best man win.
Right. And I mean, I think, though, that there's a difference between, say, if the Rams would have used their first-round pick and not gotten Brandon Cooks, but say if they used their first-round pick on a running back.
Okay.
If they had been
if they
ones,
chose Barkley.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and as the case may be, the guy out of San Diego State, Penny.
Oh, Penny. Yeah, yeah.
Would have been more in that draft range, even though the Seahawks selected him at 18. I'm well aware of that. But go
I know what you
here.
Mean. Yeah, I got you.
Right. So there's a difference between the Rams doing that and, say, drafting John Kelly in the 6th round, right? I mean, A, Todd Gurley is still a potential MVP candidate, mm-hmm. right? And even if you bring in somebody like Penny, I don't know that that would change.
I hope it wouldn't.
Right.
How does that change Todd Gurley? How does that change athlete A, who's the starter?
Right.
No matter who they draft.
Yes.
He's still going to have to beat you out. Unless it's one of those situations where you're drafted and you become the starter, no matter what the guy did last year. Now, that's different. That's a different sort of NFL, and that does happen.
It does happen.
Yeah.
But I don't think that would usually happen with, you know, the runner-up and MVP plus
offensive
player of the year.
Right.
Yes.
And if they're drafting your position that high, then chances are you weren't that good a season ago anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's how that goes.
Unless it's kind of a situation where, you know, you already have a guy like Michael Brockers, and then you draft somebody like Aaron Donald. And they play two different positions, but they kind of play the same position. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. See, that's one of the things I'm talking about. That's more competition, except running back, quarterback. I mean, only one plays at a time.
Yes, exactly.
You got four D linemen at a time. So if not my spot, then somebody else's spot is wide open. That's what I used to think, at least, if they drafted a tackle. It's not going to be mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's other positions, other guys you can chase down, but it's not going to be mine. Yeah, that's how it went.
Because it just elevated your game at
Absolutely.
That point.
Absolutely, yeah. And if they did draft in your room, your unit, defensive line, receiver, whatever, I mean, that should light a fire under you. They're looking to replace somebody. Make sure it's not you.
When you came in, what was the attitude from you going into it? Because you were ostensibly that person coming in trying to take somebody's job.
Well, I mean, the established guys, the starters, I don't think there was a threat because, I mean, you're rookies. You're coming in. I mean, some of these guys had made, you know, the all-pro list before, so there's no threat there. But the backups, I mean, they knew what we were there for. One of you guys or all four of you guys are going home.
Yeah.
As rookies, we're coming to take reps. We're coming to take jobs. So it gets pretty competitive. No one wants to help you early, especially on that side of the ball in your room because you're competing. But once you make the team or it's obvious you're going to be here, then things change. Mm-hmm. You become teammates with the guys that you're with. But at first, I mean, look, you're trying to steal food off their table. And then the next year, when you're the guy, they're going to draft four guys behind you to do the exact same thing. So it's the high performance business. We talk about it, man. It's to get drafted, to make the league. That's the easy part. The hard part is staying.
It's like anything.
Because
yes.
It doesn't change. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's the high-performance business.
Right. And so I guess what is just, it's fascinating to me because this is this type of year where now we're going to see the draft picks come in. We're going to see the UDFAs come in. And that list should be out, the full list of the Rams' free agent signings in the next few days. We'll see exactly when that comes down. But I just find it very fascinating, especially now because of the way the CBA has changed the rules, mm-hmm. how guys have to come in and compete and how it's almost more of a mental thing right now that they have to do and that they have to learn before training camp, where it was not necessarily that way when you were coming in the league.
Well, I do like the mental. I mean, it's more of a mental game now as far as preparation is concerned. I mean, I have an affinity for the physical. I mean, actually going out there. No, and repping and really working,
yes,
in pads.
I see what you're saying.
But that takes a physical toll. It takes years off your career and, yes, possibly your life. That's just the way it goes. So we're getting safer that way. So I like the mental approach. The problem is, I mean, the margin for error is thin.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you don't have practice after practice to make up for one mistake in a game. Or in practice. I mean, it's either you make it or they're going to get somebody else. Now, this is where it gets kind of, you know, touchy with other people is, let's say, for instance, it's Joseph Noteboom. Here's a guy they're making an investment in. You are the Rams, essentially their first round pick. You're the first guy drafted this year. So they're invested in developing that guy. So he's going to get some breaks that other guys won't get. So if he makes a mistake, he's going to get coached. And he's going to have the time to get better. Other guys, this is it for you, man. If you make a mistake on this rep, you're not getting another one today and possibly the rest of camp. That's just the way it is with drafted guys and undrafted guys, or guys that are expected to be franchise-type guys versus guys that are just fighting for a roster spot.
What was it like for you when you first came in? What were those days like? Because, and we can talk more about this. I mean, the Rams just started phase two of, mm-hmm, the offseason program on Monday. Basically, what that means is, all right, so there are three phases. I don't know how familiar people are with this. But the first phase is basically classroom work, where they can kind of introduce schemes and different things like that.
That's big on this football team.
Yes,
that
absolutely.
That is huge on this football team.
You have to take, as McVay says all the time, the above-the-neck approach, mm-hmm, and however that is going to work. You know, you have to be able to make sure you're on your P's and Q's.
Can I ask TCU guy a question? TCU man?
Hit me.
Noteboom is an academic All-American, right?
Yeah.
I think you're going to see a lot of that.
Well, they had, like, what, six?
Yeah.
Yes.
Most of the guys they drafted were
either team captains or academic All-Americans. You're going to have to be able to think.
Yes, and guys who had made a lot of starts at their positions, mm-hmm, and they went to the Senior Bowl. Like, these are things that are now really starting to become common themes,
yeah,
with a less need Sean McVay draft.
Not to get too far ahead, but that's why I like Micah Kizer. That guy's played a lot of football, mm-hmm, had a lot of success. So you can plug him in right away. So anyway, go back to your point.
Yes, he's a tackling machine.
Yes.
No, but the offseason, it's now split up into three phases, mm-hmm, right? Phase one, classroom work. You can do strength and conditioning work on the field, but with only the strength and conditioning coaches. So
which
head coach.
Me.
No, because it's Ted Rath.
Oh, my God. I need somebody else out there with Coach Rath, man. Somebody's got to tell him when it's over.
Ted Rath did, like, walk past us as we were doing the last podcast, and I think you said this on the air. Like, do you ever do anything slow?
Nope. Nothing.
As he...
You should see him when he takes the field.
Oh, yeah.
On game day.
Oh, I mean, we get it on film.
Yeah.
Like, if you ever watched any of those Inside the Games, what do we call them? Was it Inside the Game?
Sounds of the Game.
Okay, yeah. Is he always on the screen when they're coming out?
Well, they used to be Inside the Game, if that makes you feel better, a couple years ago. So that's where you got that
from.
Okay,
it was Inside the Game back when I was helping write it with another person.
Yeah, with, like, the narration and stuff.
Yes.
Just the boom and stuff last year is Sounds of the Game.
All right, Sounds of the Game.
Cool.
My fault.
Now we got that figured out.
I'm in the way back machine.
Branding.
That's all right. Right.
Yes, but yeah, I mean, when you sometimes, you know, you see Ted Rath on screen and it's woo.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no one ever listens to the Get Back Coach. You know what the Get Back Coach is, right?
Yes, yeah.
The guy
get back off the sideline.
Except this guy. he keeps the cleanest sideline I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, you'd listen to him?
Oh, yeah, you have no choice. It's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's booming from sideline to sideline. But anyway, go ahead.
Yes. Yes. So the players get to work with him in phase one on the field. No head coach, no offensive coordinator, no position coaches. Mm-hmm. You better stay off the field. That is a very verboten thing to do at this point. So, yeah, I know. Don't make the face.
No. Verboten?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
I know. All right, phase two. So that's what the Rams just started on Monday. So now coaches get to be out on the field with players. So you're starting to take what you learn in the classroom and implement it there out on the field. But only offense and defense can be on the field separately.
Can't touch.
Right. Can't touch. You can't go one-on-one against each other. Like, players can't even really line up as defensive players if you're on offense. You can't be really offensive players if you're on defense. It's got to be things against air.
Good.
So that's where the Rams are right now. Third phase is then the OTAs. That's where everybody talks about, you know, the OTA practices and mini camp that comes at the end. That's in phase three. So that's when you do start to get coaches as well on the field, and then you can have offense go against defense, 7-on-7, 11-on-11, those types of things.
You've seen Braveheart, right?
I've not seen Braveheart.
How can I have a conversation with him? Have you seen Braveheart?
No.
Oh, my God, what is wrong with you people? Anyway, okay. War movies where you have soldiers on one side and then they all meet in the middle and they, you know, collide.
Yeah.
That's like phase three. That's where I was going with it.
You could have gone to any number of different places for
that analogy. Game of Thrones, would that help you?
Yes, okay. Game of Thrones would have worked.
I forgot who I'm talking
to. Black Panther would have worked, I guess.
Well, it doesn't really have the scene I'm looking for.
The newest Avengers movie, that would have worked.
Well, people haven't seen it yet.
Maybe not, but they should have.
Spoiler alert.
You're almost getting into the point where, like, if you haven't seen the Avengers movie.
You're 4 days in.
If you didn't see, it's the highest grossing movie, basically, of all time in the first weekend.
You're 4 days in. Give people a chance. Especially parents. Gosh.
I'm not a
parent.
Thank you. I have no.
Exactly. We can't go to the movies when we want to. Anyway.
You went and saw it.
I snuck out. Of course I did. Did I just admit that?
I guess you did.
Anyway,
So basically, I say all that to say, like, these things now are set up very differently than when you were playing.
Yes.
So what was your first spring, or what were your first few springs like
I remember,
an NFL player?
Okay, turning pro for the first time. I remember signing the contract. I was happy. It was a big deal. For me.
Yeah.
I am now a professional.
Obviously.
I didn't make the team, but signing the contract, I am now a pro.
Yes.
That was cool. But the lasting memory of my rookie year from, like you said, the process now was, by God, please don't let Jackie Slater touch me. I'm not kidding. I don't want to get anywhere near Jackie Slater because his teammates, the guys that have been with him for 2, 3, 4 years, were afraid of him.
Yeah.
They were afraid. Don't make Jackie mad. This is what they just don't make him mad. If he blows a snot rocket at you, get out of the way. Ooh. And he will. I mean, if he starts making these noises, like when he's lining up, that means he's not happy. Stay away.
Yeah.
So that was all in my mind. But, I mean, once you got past that and you had to play, it was, hey, look, man, I only came to camp with a toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going home. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to make this team. So just getting over the wide-eyed wonder of the NFL.
Yeah.
The first couple of days. Because you're going to be in shock. You're going to be like, wow, this is the pros. These guys are huge. I know that guy. I have his poster in my room. But then once you see the center put his hand on the football, it's just ball.
Yeah.
He's trying to block me. I'm trying to beat him. And away we go.
It's interesting. I mean, players always say that. You know, I've been playing football my whole life, and I understand what football is. So, you know, now that I'm going into this, it's not necessarily that different. But, I mean, even in that time, like, did you feel like, oh, man, like, no, this is the pros?
Yeah. I mean, day one, it's either lack of rule enforcement. You know, especially for my position, D tackles, you can ask Aaron Donald about this. It seems like they let the guys hold at this level. Like, you're not going to call that? And the ref's like, no. No, I'm not going to call that. Or the strength, real man strength. I mean, there's college strength when you play a fifth-year senior. I mean, he might be older, and he's been in the weight room a little bit longer, and he's really, really freaking strong.
Yeah.
But you're talking about a guy that's been in the NFL for 8-10 years. This is all he does. This is a different level of strength and technique.
Yes.
Yeah. So that stuff is eye-opening. Like, wow, he got to that point fast. Mm-hmm. Or this really out-of-shape looking guy is actually faster than you think. And these running backs. When you start to see professional running backs just go by you, and all you catch is a vapor trail. Like, man, I thought I was in my gap. I thought I was playing that right. No, you're not playing that fast enough. This is the NFL. This is how it goes. So you have to take your game up a notch. Some guys can't do that. Mm-hmm. If you don't have it, or if you're phony, you know, if you just lucked up and got to this point, whoever, maybe you have the body dimensions to be an NFL player, but you just don't have the game.
Sure.
You know, but you have to raise your game up each and every day just to stay here.
Right.
And I mean, just to stay on the practice field, let alone play games.
Right. Yeah. I find it so fascinating. I mean, it's not something that I will ever get to experience. And so, like, I think your insight on that is just super valuable.
The first time I actually played Randy Moss, this is a trip. We're getting ready to play him. And, you know, you think you have a hold or a handle on who plays what and how.
Yeah.
But when you see a guy like Randy Moss that's that tall, that fast, and can jump higher than anybody that's on the field, and he raises his hand after one step as in he's open.
Yes.
That's scary. That's the league. Yeah. One step and you're open, and he's right most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a trip, yeah.
And Randy Moss, he's basically like the prototypical video game player. Like,
yeah.
He would put up video game stats, especially that year that he was with Brady in 07.
Oh, yeah.
And after what? The Patriots would traded, what, a 4 and a 6?
Yeah.
To acquire Randy Moss from the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
That's as big of a steal as there's ever been, maybe until Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, one of the best draft plays that sticks out in my head was the Rams went to New England for a preseason game, right? So they're just warming up. Tom Brady drops back on a 7-step drop, and Randy Moss is going on a go route.
Yeah.
Tom Brady throws it as far as he can. Randy Moss hadn't looked back for the ball yet, and it's traveling in the air. The crowd's watching it. The crowd's getting excited because if he catches it, he's either on a 1 or it's a touchdown.
Yeah.
The ball's about 3 yards from him, and he still hadn't looked back for it. He's just running straight ahead. Right as the ball gets to his shoulder, he looks, catches it, touchdown. Just like that. I mean, I'm like, this is crazy. This should be illegal.
So, like, if you're a cornerback and yeah, he's not looking back for the ball, you have no clue.
You've got no chance. You're just trying to keep up with him.
Yeah.
And he's not looking back, so you have no idea where the ball is.
Right.
By the time he looks back, it's on his shoulder. All you can do is pat him on the butt and say, good route.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Randy Moss.
And hope you don't get fired by the time you get back to the bench.
That's Randy Moss. That's so fascinating to me, too. I mean, as I use the word fascinating now in the last.
That's twice. Five, that's okay.
Yeah.
You got one more.
Okay. All right. And then it'll be a fine.
And you have to punt.
Yeah, I know. No, what I was going to say about Randy Moss, I was watching a few weeks ago just highlights of his. There was, for some reason, it must have been his birthday or whatnot. His highlights got on Facebook, and it was just eight straight minutes of just Randy Moss plays. And, I don't know, my football consciousness probably began in 1999.
Okay.
When the Browns came back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's
when. We beat them.
Yeah.
In 99.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
If you were conscious then you would know.
I know. Well, I've watched
we
you play.
We beat the snot out of you guys.
Yeah.
You had Tim Couch at quarterback.
Everybody did, except for New Orleans.
That's right.
I will never forget when the Browns beat New Orleans. It was, I think, Halloween.
Yeah.
On whatever week that was. You probably know better than me.
Yeah.
In
okay.
In 99.
Go ahead.
But Tim Couch threw a Hail Mary to Kevin Johnson, and he caught it, I think, in the front right corner of the end zone if you're the offense looking at it. And that was the Browns' first win since they had been back in 1999.
Wow. I don't remember
and
that
they,
at all.
Well, you wouldn't remember
no,
that.
I don't
you
remember
were,
that
you were probably otherwise
engaged. I was a little busy.
Yeah,
then.
You were a
yeah,
little
yeah.
busy that day,
yeah.
probably beating the snot out of somebody like you guys did many times in 99.
That was a fun game.
That was one, and then the other one, they beat the Steelers. Phil Dawson hit a field goal.
That I remember, because they beat the Steelers.
Yeah.
That was a big deal.
That was a big
deal. Yeah, that was on SportsCenter a lot.
Yes,
yeah,
it was.
It was.
So those are the two wins that I remember. But anyway, Randy Moss being that kind of player,
yeah.
you know, like I knew who Randy Moss was, and you know who Dante Culpepper is with the when he does the rolling thing when he hits the Randy Moss in a deep pass. But I don't think I really got a real appreciation for how good Randy Moss was until he got to the Patriots in 07. And at that point, I was kind of just rooting for the Patriots because I wanted to see an undefeated season.
You know, I did too, but I was actually rooting against them. You know, I wanted
when they
to see,
got to the Super Bowl?
I wanted to see Eli kind of, you know, derail that just for fun.
Yeah.
The Patriots fans were getting a little, you know.
Getting a little Boston-y.
Obnoxious. A little obnoxious, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
As so, they still are
yeah.
in Boston.
So
sorry.
As they say, the Giants saved the world. Yeah, good for them.
I don't know if they really did. I mean, the Patriots have still won, like,
well,
five
at least,
championships
at least
with Belichick and Brady.
They don't have an undefeated season.
That's true. Because
the 72 Dolphins got annoying.
Aren't they still?
All that toasting, yeah. I mean, for that reason, I wanted them to have the undefeated season just to stop the 72 Dolphins. But then I'm thinking, I don't want New England having this at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would never end.
You know what? You're right. We still would be hearing about it.
I'd rather have the 72 Dolphins still doing it.
Do you see the 30 for 30 of the two Bills that they had with Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells?
I haven't finished it, but I've seen most of it. Yes. It is fascinating.
Yeah,
it's really, 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 really interesting.
Yes.
And it makes sense. I think JB put that out on Twitter, or somebody did. If you could pick any coach in history right now to take on Belichick, like, who would you pick? And easy, Parcells.
I guess, yeah.
He trained the other guy.
Yeah. Mentor, mentee.
Absolutely. I would pick Parcells in a heartbeat.
I think you would have to say, though, that Belichick has surpassed Parcells on that scale, yes.
I wouldn't say it in Parcells' presence.
Maybe not, but Belichick has more rings.
Okay.
Belichick has won 5 Super Bowls, and he's been...
Eli's got more rings than Peyton. Well, no. They're even
now.
No,
they have even.
They're equal now.
They're equal.
Okay. So.
Wouldn't it have been fun maybe to see Eli and Peyton go in a Super Bowl against one another?
Desired. Yeah. I couldn't. The other matchup I want outside of the Rams making the Super Bowl is I want Rodgers-Brady.
Rodgers-Brady or Breeze-Brady?
Definitely Rodgers.
I would rather see Rodgers.
For all the marbles. Yeah, whoever has the ball last wins. Yeah.
The point I was coming to in that Two Bills documentary, and I don't know why I was coming to this, but the undefeated season, Patriots, got it. Randy Moss. I'm trying to connect the dots of like how my mind just made this loop. But anyway,
a little verbose.
A little?
Just throwing it out there. Anyway, go ahead.
Matt, you want to jump in here?
No, I stick with little words.
This is a fun podcast so far.
Belittling my Pac-10 education.
Nobody was doing that.
That's what I felt. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. We know it's Pac-10. See, that means DeMarco's old because it's Pac-12 now.
I know. Anyway, go ahead.
As what I was going to say about the undefeated season and everything, Bill Belichick, as they went into the Giants trophy room. They were at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah.
And so Bill Belichick says to Bill Parcells, these are the ones, these are the two Lombardis we won together. These are the two they beat us, or they took from us, or something like that.
Wow. Yeah. That's the right way to think.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, a lot of teams we beat that year in 99, I mean, there's two in particular that won't let it go. But one got a Super Bowl, I think, 2 years after. That was Tampa. Some of those guys couldn't let it go.
Who? What do you mean, some of those guys?
Some of those guys on that team couldn't let it go.
On the Tampa team?
On the Tampa team. They couldn't accept that we beat them.
Really?
Because they thought it was their Lombardi. And I can't disagree, because we thought it was ours, too.
Okay,
That's what happens when you get to the top of, the playoff matchups.
Right,
all those teams feel like they've earned that Lombardi.
Yes.
Minnesota couldn't let it go. And they still can't let it go. Yeah, they still think they were the better team. I mean, how do you argue that? Oh, we were better than you. Well, wait a minute.
I mean, yeah, we got this.
Yeah, right here. Okay.
Ring.
Yeah.
I have this.
It's nice to think that way, but,
I have the proof.
Yes. I'm going to go kiss Vince before I go to bed. Right. Every night.
Yeah, exactly.
Shut up, TCU.
I don't have this.
Oh.
So, or this.
Stay tuned. So. Yeah. Golf keeps getting better.
Yeah, we'll see.
Look out now.
Yeah, what a good segue into getting back into the 2018 Los Angeles Rams.
That's the sobering thing when people ask me about the draft picks and Dominican Sue, Aqib Talib, Peterson, anything. Even Todd Gurley. It goes back to Goff.
Yes.
That's where your focus should be, his improvement. If he improves, everybody improves.
Well, I mean, this is what we talk about, right? It is the most important position in sports, and there's reason for that. The quarterback has his hands on the ball every single play, and it is vital for that guy to know exactly what is going on around him so that everybody else can succeed. I mean, you can have the best wide receiver in the world, and if the quarterback can't get the ball to him, it's not going to matter.
Right.
You know, if the quarterback can't hand off the ball to Todd Gurley or get the ball to Todd Gurley on a screen, it doesn't necessarily matter how good Todd Gurley is.
If your play fakes suck, it doesn't matter what you do.
Yes.
Yeah, the defense is going to key in on you. So all that stuff has to get better. The better he gets, the better this team gets. The more primetime games you get. So you have 5 this year.
Yes.
That proves how good he was last year. So keep improving. Your profile only goes up.
I don't think we talked about the schedule very much at all.
We haven't, no.
Yeah, what did you think of the schedule when it came out?
I'm excited for this team. I'm excited for the fan base.
Yeah.
For the teams that are coming to town. For the road trips that you don't have to take when you think about last season.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Man, I mean, I don't want to say it was brutal because we didn't play.
Right.
We didn't get to these cities and have to play football on game day, but... That's a lot of miles, man.
No, it is. Yeah. And, I mean, that's the beauty of what this schedule is this year. When you face the AFC West and you're doing the NFC North. But, you know, the NFC North is better than maybe the AFC North in terms of travel because you have to go to Chicago and Detroit. Mm. Those are four-hour flights. No, maybe four and a half.
And depending on when you get them, could be cold.
True. But it's not like, you know, say Baltimore, where we're going for the preseason. But if you're in the middle of the regular season and you're only going there for a couple of days, that's, what, 5.5, 6 hour
flight. It's a long way. It's challenging for coaches and players.
Right. Pittsburgh is further away. Right. Cleveland is even further away. We go to both of those places next year in 2019, Pittsburgh and Cleveland. But I think just from the standpoint of, like you're saying, you don't have to go to Jacksonville, stay there for a few more days.
Head to London.
Go to London, play a few days later, come back
to LA,
have
and then
a
go
bye
to New York.
Week, and then go to New York. Yes, exactly. Just the travel is much, much more manageable this
season. Can I ask you one question? When you think of that New York game, what comes to mind?
Robert Woods' 52-yard touchdown.
Third and 33, and he scores. Third and 33.
Yeah.
And he scores.
He scored.
From 53 yards out.
Yeah.
Everybody's fired.
Well, that
everybody's
happened.
Fired. Just bypass the locker room, head on out the door. Keep the pads.
Do
we'll
not,
order new ones.
It's Monopoly.
Yes.
Do not pass
you have
go.
Sullied those pads. Keep them.
Do not
third
pass.
And 33, and he scores. I remember that coach's show. That's all I said to Sean McVay. Third and 33? Really? Really?
What did, not that you should necessarily say this, but what was Sean McVay's facial reaction like?
He just kept smiling. He knows.
When you said it to him off the
third
air.
Third and 33, a screen that goes for a touchdown. I mean, that's how you know it's going right.
Yeah,
that's how you know it's going to your season is setting up to be special.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was only one of like many touchdowns in that game.
Oh yeah.
But that was a pretty special game.
Well, that's when I really got to figure out or understand his approach to football, and I love it. And I told this to some guys I used to play with, masters of offense.
Mm-hmm.
They're really masters of defense.
Mm.
They really have a great understanding of what we're trying to do on the defensive side of the football. So that's what makes them great. They're great athletes. They can throw. They can run. They're fast. They can make people miss, all that stuff. That's different. That's separate. That's individual. But what they are is they can think with the defense. They understand what they're trying to do and what their concepts are. And when you're trying to cheat. So if you're not playing this coverage or this alignment correctly, he's going to make you pay.
Yeah.
And that's what I kept seeing throughout the year.
Yeah.
If you'll see guys that are freelancing on defense, well, he's going to make you pay for that
mm-hmm.
at some point. Or you're too aggressive going after the quarterback. Well, you're going to pay with a screen. And two plays later, here it is. So that sort of stuff you appreciate. But that third and 33, from that game on, I really got to see the beauty and the genius of what they're trying to do offensively.
Well, I think that game was kind of a turning point, too, just in terms of, okay, coming out of the bye week, how are you going to respond?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've had a couple of really good wins. You had that Seattle loss at home. Then you go to Jacksonville. And at that time,
was a dogfight to me.
It really was. Yeah. And at that time, nobody really kind of quite knew what Jacksonville would be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, they had, forced five interceptions off of Ben Roethlisberger the week before.
Was knocking safeties out.
He was. Yeah. But I don't know that anybody really believed that Jacksonville would win that division in the mm-hmm. AFC South. And so you go in there to their house, you take the opening kickoff back, and then, of course, you know, Leonard Fournette breaks away for 75 yards. But you block a punt, you get mm-hmm. a touchdown that way. Defense and special teams really contributed to that win in a big way. And then you go to London and you beat the snot out of the Arizona Cardinals 33-0. And then, you know, you have that week off and you might be mm-hmm. feeling yourself a little bit and, you know, you say trap game, whatever that might mean. And then you go into New York, New Jersey, and you defeat them and the Giants the way you did. Like, that to me was like, oh, this team is for real.
One of the things we learned during that 99 year, even before that with Dick Vermeil was how to make playoff teams. This is before we actually turned the corner. So we were one of the also-rans, and he was trying to teach us how to be a winning football team and then a playoff football team. And he used to read these things off to us every single day. And one of the things that stood out was what makes a playoff team. Playoff teams keep losing teams losing.
Yes, I remember you saying this last year.
New York was struggling.
Yes.
So you should go there and dominate. You can't give them any life at all.
Yeah.
And I think that's what that team did coming off a bye week. So,
yes.
I mean, if you weren't impressed with Sean McVay, at least I was coming off that bye week. You can take a team to Jacksonville, stay in Jacksonville, go to London, beat Arizona like you did, then take a week off, and then come back and perform as well as you did versus New York in New York. That, to me, is phenomenal. Give the players credit. But give the coaches credit, too.
If there's any reason I think that the Rams will be able to handle the expectations of this season, it's things like that, like Sean McVay, where he handles the attitude of this team and just preaches the process of one day at a time, one day at a time. Don't get too far ahead of yourself. Make sure that your processes are focused on daily improvement and daily excellence. And if you've ever heard a McVay press conference, I'm sure you have heard those two phrases.
I've heard Les Snead say it. I try to bring it home. Just win the day. I do. Just try to win the day. My daughter's worried about the SAT. She's worried about college. I mean, all this stuff is 16 months off. Hey, just win today.
Yes.
Just worry about today. We'll worry about tomorrow. But today is today. And it helps. She gets out of the car. She's happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's true. And, like, there is, McVay put up this pyramid in the team meeting room now.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically is, like, laying out the coaching philosophy. We, not me, is in the middle of it. You know, daily improvement, daily excellence is on there. The standards are on there.
I miss that stuff.
It's... I had our graphic designer print it out and put it on my desk.
Affirmations, I miss it.
Those things, to me, they translate not just from football, but anything you do. If you focus on daily improvement and daily excellence, you're going to get better at it.
You block out distraction.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, you could be wanting to lose weight. Daily improvement, daily excellence.
Well, that's what I mean. I need positive reinforcement every day.
You're beautiful, DeMarco.
Thank you very much. See? But that's not helping. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie.
I don't know. Or you could spend like a bunch of money on a personal trainer like I just did.
Not going lipo. It's not going to work. No.
Nobody asked you to do that.
I thought you were going personal trainer. I got Kanye in the brain. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
You said lipo.
I'm sorry. Anyway.
We don't need to go there.
Yeah. Either. Have you heard the one about the lion and the wish and the gazelle?
Wardrobe?
The lion and the gazelle, right? Is that the one?
What are you talking about?
Every morning in Africa, a lion wakes up and he must be faster than the fastest gazelle.
Oh!
Than the slowest gazelle or something like that.
Yeah, in order to eat.
Unless he's going to die. And every morning the gazelle wakes up, he must be faster than the slowest lion, whatever it is.
Slowest lion or something like that.
But the bottom line is, every morning when the sun comes up, you better be running.
Yeah,
that's what I saw every day walking into the building.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. I wish I could do that every single... I would put that on my walls if I could.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can't. I'm married. That's not going to work.
You can't put it.
It's very like... You can't, especially for us who go over to the facility so often and seeing everybody get better day by day.
Yeah.
You can't just like go back home and sit on your couch and like... binge watch three seasons of something. Like,
no.
You're just what did I do today?
Yeah, it makes you feel bad about yourself, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, these guys are working. I should be working, too.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about it. That's why I've now done this personal
And I heard you have a trainer?
Yeah.
Really?
I do.
Kick his ass. I'm sorry.
That your message for my trainer?
Kick his butt.
I'm going to play that for my trainer
next time
I go. That's funny that you say that.
No quarter. None. Yes. If he says he's tired, add two more reps.
He usually adjusts the different exercises to like...
Oh, good.
You know, what I can and am clearly struggling with.
So I could bet you now 30 push-ups for $100?
Oh, no. We're going to do this again?
I'm just asking. You got a trainer now.
I do. I should be better. Okay. I should be able to get 30 push-ups.
Next between the horns.
Yeah.
Next between the horns, we'll do it right here.
Live on Rams Mailbag.
Right here.
Yeah.
Miles and 30 push-ups.
30 push-ups for $100.
Just tilt the camera.
And he got to 27? Was it 27 or 26?
I got to 27 the last time.
He got to 27. And 28, you couldn't get up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing to me, though, like the push-ups.
Yeah.
Like what we've been doing, and I don't know if anybody really gives a crap about my workouts, but this is what we're going to talk about now. But we've been working on like a steady ball, and so sometimes it'll have me like try to do push-ups off of that. So there was one day I did bench, And I wasn't doing that much on the bench because we were doing supersets. So it would like bench like 8 reps or something and then go on to the steady ball and like try to push yourself up off of that. Like your hands are pretty close
together. He's trying to get you yoked. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like.
Who are you trying to fight, man? What's going on with you?
Nobody.
Okay.
I just want to look better for myself.
Look out, Matt.
Miles Swollen's coming at you.
Look out, no.
Matt doesn't live with me anymore, so he'll be okay.
I do run into him at the gym, though.
It's true.
I see him. Uh-oh. I see him getting his work.
Yeah,
Matt, I see you over there. Yeah, I think you might be 250 on the bench, maybe.
At like my peak in high school, I was at like 275.
He's kind of swole up over there.
Yeah, yes. Anyway, no, I like. Yeah. So we see each other at the gym all the time.
Nice.
Shout out to 24 Hour Fitness.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyway,
I'll come work out with you guys.
Yeah. I'm in. Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Come on. Let's go right now.
Also, really sponsorship's gonna love that plug.
See,
so
that's why I did it. You didn't have to say it, Matt. We could have just let it be organic.
So organic,
right?
What else can we talk about?
We
didn't finish really talking about the schedule, and I did want to bring up the fact that, like, this schedule, we're talking about travel. We have 2 New Orleans trips, mm-hmm. which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have that long Baltimore trip where mm-hmm. they are going to be practicing with the Baltimore Ravens. The details of that have not quite been worked out, but
that's going to be interesting.
It will be very interesting. Mm-hmm. We might get some chain snatching.
Probably.
Crabtree is on the Ravens now.
I hope, for the love of God, I hope they bury the hatchet. Just play
football.
Just play football.
Boo.
Just play football. It's competitive enough.
It's going to be practice. Those joint practices, though, in training camp, they get heated a lot.
Of course they do, especially when you're bringing built-in beefs.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I just mean from the standpoint, I mean, like, you were there when Rams and Cowboys were practicing.
Yeah.
Wallops started happening. So, last year, Rams, Chargers. It's just, I think it creates a situation where, like, you've got 2 teams, they're finally seeing a different color. They're finally seeing an opponent. Like, you don't want to do that.
You get to unload on some other people, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but just going back to the first brawl with the Cowboys, what did you get out of that? As a football team, both sides, what did you get out of a brawl like that?
Maybe you came a little closer together. I don't know.
You think? Maybe?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying, you're probably lucky that no one broke their hand.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Especially when a wide receiver named Dez Bryant was trying to fight people with helmets on.
True. Well,
why are you doing that?
There was another corner that was in his ear.
Oh, yeah. It's another player that no longer plays for their team.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. So what do brawls really do?
That was so
fun for the crowd.
It was fun for the crowd.
Yeah.
We can tell this
crowd
story.
Crowd loves car wrecks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why people watch NASCAR, right? The funny thing about that practice, training camp 2015, mm-hmm. Dez Bryant was not practicing that mm-hmm. day. Do you remember this?
So absolutely.
They're doing one-on-one routes, right? And Trumaine Johnson and Dez Bryant are just yammering at each other, just jawing back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And Dez is not practicing. I think he had a hamstring injury or something. And Dez is, like, trying to get in the line
mm-hmm.
so that he can go against True. And Jason Garrett is like, dude, get back.
Mm-hmm.
Just step back. And, like, at that time, Tony Romo was still the quarterback. So Tony wasn't, like, saying very much, but he was involved, as one quarterback would be.
He was chirping back.
He was.
Mm-hmm.
But you really had a lot going on between True and Dez at that
time.
Oh,
yeah. I was standing next to Will Witherspoon, and I said, this will get out of hand. And within 7 minutes, the whole place turned into a brawl.
Bang.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It did. Yeah, yeah. It's for me, it started when Trumaine took his helmet off.
Yeah.
During a drill.
Yeah.
That's what you don't do.
Right.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Because there's no one out here that can stop me. Right.
Well, that's also true.
That turned out to be true. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. So, I mean, that's something. I don't know how much we'll really see of that.
I bet both coaches are just looking for good work out of their teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing, too, is this is going to come a little earlier in training camp. So I think we maybe have like a week-ish of training camp mm-hmm. and then we go to Baltimore and then a couple practices there and then that Thursday game against the Ravens and then we'll come back here and then we'll probably have a few more practices in Irvine before that second preseason game against the Raiders that happens at
the
Coliseum.
Someone else asked me about the late bye and I said to me that's kind of where you want it.
I think it's great.
Yeah, because you can rest up and then gear up for the remainder of the season and roll right through it. Right.
Well, right. You have the early Thursday night game, Rams-Vikings. Mm-hmm. It's going to kick off the Fox Thursday night slate. That's going to be interesting, and that's going to be at the Coliseum. It's going to be a cool deal to have that Thursday night game at the Coliseum, especially if the atmosphere is anything like that Atlanta game.
Oh, yeah.
That which was incredible for
Thursday
the
night in L.A. is basically Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's what they tell me.
It's going to be raucous. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No
doubt. So you have that, and then you have the Monday night game in Kansas City before the bye, and that was the week of Thanksgiving. Do you realize that?
Oh, yeah. JV told me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going to be the first time I'm going to spend Thanksgiving with my family in 4 years.
I'm coming.
So that's awesome. Are you? I'm inviting myself. You want to fly to Cleveland?
I'm inviting myself. Let's go.
Yeah.
Well. You think the Chiefs will just let me on their charter back?
No.
No. Probably not.
Not wearing Rams colors, no.
Yeah. No, you're going to have to, like, stow away in a bag.
Wow.
Or something of that nature. But there are marquee games on the schedule. There are marquee games on the slate. It's going to be, I mean, you knew that because of the opponents that were coming in anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that the Rams got 5 primetime games, it speaks to the way this thing is going.
I mean, your Q rating is going up. And I didn't see the entire top 100. All I saw was Whitworth was 87 and maybe Johnny Hecker.
They said Hecker is 152 in terms of players this
Hecker
year.
Hecker is 152?
Yes.
But he was voted best punter?
Yes. He is
so we just don't value punters?
Yes.
Oh, that's fair. Okay.
I mean, he's a punter. I love Johnny. But, I mean, would you... There are thousands of players in the league, and you try to get to 100.
I just remember football people. That's who I listen to. I remember when the Rams went to New England, and who's the only guy Bill Belichick talked about?
He didn't talk about Danny and other people that weren't on the Rams or the Patriots. I'm making a joke, and it's not landing right. But yes, he talked about Johnny Hecker, and he's called him a weapon.
Right.
That guy is a weapon. Yes.
He is a weapon. He was something that can keep the New England Patriots from victory because of how well he could punt.
Well, that's what he did to the Jets in that particular season.
Exactly.
And the lead of my game recap was about a 78-yard punt. Is that how far it was?
Oh, yeah. Well, my point is, if Johnny Hecker can't make the top 100, then no punter ever will.
Well, there are very few punters in the Hall of Fame, so it's...
Right.
Yeah.
If that guy isn't a part of your top 100, that guy... There will never be a punter in the top 100.
He is the best punter in the league.
Mm-hmm. I think he got overshadowed by the Rams having successful offensive drives this year, whereas two, three years ago, he's the only thing you talk
about
on the side of the ball.
The best Ram day ever, you probably don't see Hecker.
Mm-hmm. How many times did we see Hecker in New York in that game we were just talking about?
He was bored. I saw him a lot. He was right behind me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. On the sideline, doing nothing.
Doing nothing.
Yeah,
cheering his guys on.
He held for Greg Zuerlein and all those extra points.
That's true.
And all the field goals.
Right.
So if that's when you see Johnny Hecker, that's great. That's
a good
day.
You like the top 100?
I do not, actually.
Okay. Why not?
Because I'm not sure
how
real
it is. It's an unnecessary list?
I think, yes, it's an unnecessary list that is filler off-season content, which I understand.
Yeah.
From a content creator myself, I understand that perspective of it. But I find it to be an unnecessary list that doesn't, how much does it really mean?
I mean, it's just a list. It's just to keep people talking.
It is.
Yeah. But some guys deserve to be on that list. And I don't want to say people that don't deserve to be on that list are on that list, but... There are some guys that are really good. I mean, some great football players that just you never hear about or talk about, so they won't make those top 100 lists at all. And some of those guys are on this football team.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of them plays left guard.
One of them also plays a 5 technique.
Could be. Michael Brockers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could be on that top 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roger Saffold is the other person that we were talking about to mention him by name.
I don't know how they compile those things. But
they say players vote on it, but people you talk to, you're like, I've never voted.
Oh, man.
Which is why, like, I don't know who is voting on it or how those things all get tallied and determined.
Well, I don't know how other teams used to do it. When we did the Pro Bowl, like when we have to vote for Pro Bowlers, we took it seriously. We weren't trying to just put our guy in.
Yeah.
Some people will vote for Joe Bag of Donuts just to make sure their guy gets in. But, you know, if you're good, we're going to say you're good.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Yes. No, and I agree with you. But yeah, Whitworth is there at 87. I think it's over the next 6 or so weeks, they then reveal the rest of the top 100. So
nice.
I would assume that there are going to be at least 2 players, more players on that list from the Los Angeles Rams, probably 3.
Goff?
Yeah, Goff would be my 3rd, the other 2 being...
So he'll be ahead of Whitworth.
because so, only because he's
right.
a quarterback.
That's what I mean. Right, right, right.
Yeah, right. exactly. But yeah, the other two being Goff and Donald and Gurley. And they've, I mean, those two are you offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year. You would assume that they have to be somewhere in that top 25 range on that list. Yes,
Farrell Cooper would be 101.
I don't know. I think I would say, I mean, like,
all pro return specialist. Come on.
If we're really doing that, like, from special teams ranking, like, this is a silly thing to do, but okay. What? Like, if Johnny Hecker would be 152, Farrell Cooper is probably 153, and Greg Zuerlein would be 150.
The NFL's leading point scorer.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he should be.
See, this is the problem with top 100s, right?
Exactly. Right. We have definitely come to that problem.
Of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I hope they don't do away with kickoffs altogether.
It seems like that's the way the wind is blowing.
That's the game.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way I feel about it, too.
I like the mechanism of leave it up to the receiving team.
Interesting.
Yeah, leave it up to the receiving team. Fair catch it. If you fair catch it, you get the ball at the 25, 30, what have you. But
right.
I think the kickoff has to remain in the game. If you want to make it safer, great. If you want to make it so that you don't have to return the thing the way it is now, but just make it a little bit easier, give them the incentive not to return it,
yeah.
then so be it. But keep the kickoff in the game. Yes. I don't care how boring it is for people. Is the game.
Yes, no, I agree with you. And I still think that touchback should come to the 20 and not the 25. I think we mentioned this
on a previous podcast.
But I want to bring this up since you brought the kickoffs from Jenny Vrintas. She writes for the Monday Morning Quarterback at Sports Illustrated. But she was tweeting this out. She said, as Troy Vincent said yesterday, the NFL plans to make changes to the kickoff for 2018 but not eliminate it. So special teams coaches around the league collaborated on a proposal to modify and make the play safer by reducing some of the play space and speed. So language of the proposed rule change is still being finalized before vote at May meetings, but changes would include no running start for kicking team, no wedge, and only three players deep.
Well, you can't wedge now anyway.
Right.
Yeah, you can't wedge anymore. No running start for a kickoff team?
Yeah, so I guess that they would have to be lined up at the 35 instead of at the 30 and not get the 5 yards.
Okay, that's fair. See, I like that. But if you eliminate kickoffs altogether, kickoffs and kick returns, I don't recognize the game anymore.
Right.
Yeah. I think you should keep the game the way it is, but you can make it safer. If you want to make those guys line up on the ball and then start running as he kicks it, fine.
Yes.
That slows everybody down. That will slow down some of those impacts. Great. Make that safer. But you just can't do away with it.
I agree with you. No, I don't want to see the kickoff done away with. I like the kickoff as a part of the game. Yeah. I think it is an essential part of the game.
Man, I can't. That used to be the fun for me, Miles. I'm serious. All levels. When you're not on kickoff or kick return.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's number one. But when you're not on kickoff, kick return, and you're staring across from the guy you're about to play. Yeah, that, to me, is fun. When the defensive unit is here and their offensive unit is there.
Yeah.
Love it. That's what it's all about.
I just remember being in high school when I played, and it was when you were no longer on the special teams units. Yeah. That's when you really started to feel like, oh, man, I made it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I did not like kickoff or kickoff return, A, because I couldn't tackle people. I did do kickoff return a bunch. And my sophomore year, it was our second game of the season, and it was the first game we played under the lights. They had just put up lights at our high school. So they at some point, I think it was just before halftime, the opposing team had just scored, so they're kicking off to us. And I'm lined up, like, second player from the outside on the left, right? And I'm in the front line. So as it always says, look, you've got to watch the ball go over your head, right?
Right.
So they decide that they're going to kind of onside kick it. They kicked it right to me. Fielded it, went back in the womb, waited until I got touched down.
Nice.
We had the possession.
Nice. You know how they pick guys like that, right?
Oh, yeah, I know.
I'm just saying.
I know.
What number were you wearing?
I was wearing 74.
Oh, rocket right to you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As they should have.
How much did you weigh?
At that time, probably 175.
Kick it to 74.
Yeah.
Kick it right to 74. Yep. He doesn't want it.
Nope. I didn't want it, but I fielded it anyway.
That's right.
I take coaching pretty well.
You showed him. Absolutely. So, yeah.
There is that.
My first kickoff ever was in the league.
Really?
Yes. Against New England. And shout out to Toby Wright, the hardest hitting safety I've ever seen. I'm trying as hard as I can to get down there, and I'm with skill guys, so yeah. I'm behind. So I saw the play unfold. The guy's coming right at me, and it seemed like he just got converged on at the same time, high and low, and Toby hit him in the face with his helmet. Oof. And broke his jaw.
Yo.
Right in front of me.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, within 2 yards of me. You know what I thought right then? I have got to get a sack tonight. I've got to get off this kickoff team. Yeah.
Did you? Did you get a
yes,
sack that
time? I am getting off kickoff. It's dangerous out here.
That's hilarious.
Yes. Right in front of me. Oh, my God.
No, I don't
I think
you.
He was a second-round pick, too. Mm-hmm. Guy they had high hopes for. And after that hit, he was never the same.
Gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that then
dangerous
that,
shot.
I think that's exactly... You're basically speaking to the point of why they want to make that play a little bit safer.
Well, that was the old school where you can actually wedge. So right. Sometimes you'd have a fast guy that was like an L1 or R1. That's the guy right next to the kicker.
Oh, that's not the button on my PlayStation.
No, no. I mean, and they'd let that guy run free. Right into four guys.
Yeah.
It's just, who wants that job?
Right.
Yeah, no way. Wedge, his job was wedge buster. Mm-hmm. That means put your head down and run through four people.
Yes.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I hope you can remember your name by 40.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that guy is actually the announcer for the Arizona Cardinals now. He's doing quite well.
Huh. Yeah. Well, good.
Ron Wolfley.
That is something I'm glad to hear. All right, before we get out of here, I do want to mention this because I didn't mention it when we had our draft podcast. We've been talking about a bunch of random things today. Yeah. I liked this podcast.
Fun.
I thought it was fun. And like,
football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bunch of just different topics. I don't know. What'd you think, Matt?
That's what the offseason is all about.
I think so, too.
Well, I mean, early May. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is where we are.
Yes.
Hey, the Rams will not be holding a rookie mini camp this year. Did you hear that?
Good. Instead, that means no coaching change.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. And not only that, but I think it's a good change because you get so many soft tissue injuries in these mm-hmm. things. You remember Dante Fowler a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Jaguars rookie mini camp comes in, top 10 pick, boom, he's out with an ACL injury because they're going too fast. And so I think that's a good change. You're going to try to integrate these rookies as smoothly as possible into the offseason program, and then they'll go from there. But I did want to talk a little bit about going to Coachella because I did that this year.
Yeah, how was it?
It was really interesting, and it was really, really, really fun.
Tell me about it.
I don't know.
I have never been.
It's very, I don't want to say it's dirty, but like there's a lot of dirt. So like you always see pictures of people who are there and they're wearing bandanas like around their nose yeah. and mouth, and I feel like I probably should have done this more because
so it's dusty.
Yes, that's what
not
I meant.
Dirty, it's dusty.
It's dusty.
Okay. Makes sense.
Because you're in the desert. But
okay.
I had a really good time. You know, I was with one of my really good friends from high school mm-hmm. and it was kind of a bunch of his friends that he'd been in an a cappella group with.
Nice.
But when he was in college. So from that perspective, like I got to be around people who actually know music really
wow.
well. So we saw like a bunch of different bands, but it is so tiring. And this is a very first world problem thing.
It's tiring?
Oh, it's so tiring.
Walking?
Yes.
Okay.
You're standing for so many hours, you know? And basically what we did was I got there Thursday night after work, so we were staying at this house because mm-hmm. I was not camping, which I'm sure you could have guessed.
Okay.
Yes, because
his idea of camping is room service.
Anyways, it is.
Yeah,
I was not staying in a tent in a car. You kidding? The people who
in a zombie apocalypse, he's a zombie.
Yeah, probably. Oh, maybe I'll try to get a baseball bat.
I'm right there with you. No tents, man.
I'm surviving.
Yeah, but yeah. It was a really nice house. So yeah. At a pool and everything. But what we would do is, you know, you spend the day sort of chilling at the pool.
Yeah.
Then you go to Coachella. You do the Coachella thing. And you see a bunch of bands and the artists and whatnot. And then you come back. And because it takes like it takes forever and a day to get out of there. And then you got to kind of wait for your shuttle. And by the wow. time you get back to your house, it's like 2 in the morning, maybe 3 in the morning. It was almost 4 in the morning the night Beyonce performed.
Nice.
So then what we do is we like get in the hot tub and you the pups are barking, right?
Right,
your feet hurt.
Right.
You just soak them. You have another beer. You start talking and then
it's
like
a family show, Miles.
Yes.
Okay.
I can say beer.
No, we can't.
As long as it's Corona.
Yeah, I was going to say I had a Corona and multiple Coronas.
Nice.
The Coronas were excellent.
Nice.
Over the course of this weekend.
Nice.
And you know, you chill. And then you'd kind of do the whole thing again. But by the time you got, like, Beyonce was as amazing as everybody is saying she was.
Wow.
Like, I've seen Beyonce in concert 3 times before that, now 4 times. And so and the other good thing about this schedule is that the Rams are home in week 3 and Beyonce is performing at the Rose Bowl with Jay-Z.
The Jay-Z.
Yeah, the night before. And I bought tickets to that.
Nice.
And I was like, man, I hope I can attend this. Yeah. I was like,
good luck.
Tickets.
Well, you can't leave early.
No, I know. I'll be tired that
good.
Game.
What's the name of that tour?
I think it's the On the Run
Part
2.
Is it On the Run
tour.
Again? Okay, all right.
Part 2 tour. Wow. On the Run Part 2.
Nice to be single. He can go anywhere he wants.
Yeah.
I got in trouble because I didn't want to go to that. So
you didn't want to go to Beyonce?
I don't have one.
Wow.
I'll take her. She can. Wow. We'll have a great time.
I think the funniest thing you told me was I didn't know this because I love the song. Portugal the Man is actually...
Yes,
a guy.
It's a dude. Portugal the Man is a man.
I thought it was clever.
Also saw Portugal the Man there, too.
Yeah.
They were great.
They were great. Yeah. I thought it was clever. I thought that was a lady.
Yeah.
That's actually a guy.
Ooh,
singing that high.
I'm a rebel just for kicks, man.
Wow.
What was your, who was your favorite act or group to see that wasn't, a huge name?
Yeah, besides Beyonce, who definitely was my favorite, I like Tank and the Bangas. They are a group from New Orleans. It's an African-American woman, and she sort of reminds me
of
Sharon Jones. Yeah.
I like it.
Sort of like Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, but different. It's sort of hard for me to explain, but I really like.
Is she tankish?
Yeah, a little.
Okay. Because Tank is reserved for short.
Yeah.
Short guys that look like tanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but she could really sing. Her band behind her was really, really excellent.
Awesome.
So I really liked her. I saw Miguel, and I didn't know any Miguel songs, but I knew zero of the songs he performed. But I really enjoyed his performance.
He can sing.
Yes.
Yeah.
He can really, really sing.
He was on his way up until he jumped over and kicked the fan.
Oh.
By accident. Yeah, and that kind of derailed him.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
What, that
yeah. He was on his way up.
Miguel
right. That was a problem.
I really liked Cardi B. I think Cardi B is delightful.
Oh, her and her little baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just, I think she's so fun.
Is she really tiny?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. And we weren't that close for her because she was on the main stage.
Yeah.
But I think she's so fun.
That Bodak Yellow, everywhere we went when that played in the stadium, both teams were getting down to it.
Yeah.
Everybody, top to bottom.
I don't dance now. I make money move.
The number one song in the country.
If I see you and I don't speak, that means I don't bleep with you.
That
is my favorite line of the song.
I like it.
I love that.
Yes, sir.
Who else did we see? Portugal the Man was good. I liked The Weeknd. Everybody else in our group besides me and my friend wanted to see Jamiroquai.
Yeah.
So they all went to see Jamiroquai. I'm like, I like The Weeknd, man.
You had to choose?
Yeah, because they were on at the same time.
Oh, that's
because I would have liked to have seen Jamiroquai too, but I'm The Weeknd's the headliner.
How do you play them both at the same time? That stinks.
There's six or seven, maybe eight different stages.
And there's acts going at the same time.
Yeah, all
day,
basically.
That place is that big?
Yes.
Where the music doesn't just...
Sometimes it kind of does.
It crosses over, okay.
But if you're on the main stage and I don't know, there are different things.
But no one's performing when Beyonce's on.
Pretty much, no.
Okay. So somebody actually was performing when...
I think there was, maybe at the end of their performance when Beyonce was starting.
How do you get that draw? Yeah, you're going to perform when Beyonce's on stage.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, invite your parents.
Right? Exactly. Those are the only two people who are going to be in the audience. Yeah, you got to be some kind of hipster to be like, I'm not going to watch Beyonce. I'm going to go to this band, Beyonce.
It depends on what the other options are. Okay. I mean...
Really? You wouldn't go see Beyonce?
It depends on what the other options are.
I'll say this, man. Getting a member band and dancers and everything on and off the stage the way that she was doing it in that performance, it was mind-boggling.
Wow.
I mean, the horns that came in when they started playing Crazy in Love, and you have basically a marching band that is on stage.
Wow.
It was a little overwhelming.
They said she wrecked Coachella.
She did.
Yeah.
She did. I mean, basically, it was by the time Eminem performed Sunday night, and they do things a little earlier on Sunday so you can kind of get out of there. But by the time Eminem started performing, I was looking around and everybody else was like, can we go?
Tired. Oh, yeah.
Did he do his old stuff, or is it just post-sobriety?
You know, it's a really good question.
Okay.
Wow.
I'll tell you what
I
saw.
And that answers that.
I'll tell you what I saw that he did. He brought out 50 Cent, and 50 Cent did In the Club.
Oh, nice.
So I felt like I saw the most important part of that performance.
That was the most important part?
To me, it was.
You're not a fan of Eminem, are you?
I said that I'm not a fan. Oh. It's that, If he had been, if it had been the weekend, I probably would have been like, I really want to see this.
Oh, okay.
But at that point, like I said, it's so tiring and you're out there for so long. It's just kind of
you're
like,
making my feet hurt. Right now, you're making my feet hurt.
I know.
There's nowhere to sit. You guys didn't bring in like a blanket?
Well, because
or like, can you bring like chairs?
You can't. Well, I don't think you can bring chairs, but you can bring like a blanket and stuff. But like, if you're waiting for Beyonce, for instance, we wanted to be relatively close. And so basically, we had to go at the end of, I don't know, I don't even remember who was performing there, but we were at the main stage for Tyler the Creator, who is
one of my favorites.
He's really angry, and like,
yeah.
I'm worried about
he's
him.
Very
no,
angry.
But like, I tried to talk to him about him a few years ago. Like, you've got to listen to like his stuff in a certain order and you'll figure it out.
I mean, I felt like watching his performance, I figured it out. And like, I feel like he needs to talk to a professional.
I don't know who he's upset with. That's what I don't get about Tyler, the Creator. I don't know who you're mad at. Is it just life, period?
He just says he wilds out at his shows and he likes to have a good time. He's not
okay.
He's not angry. He just okay. He's just having fun with his friends. Like, it's skaters, dude. Like, they
okay.
wreck stuff. See, and
maybe rock, he's not angry, but he seems angry.
Rock,
man.
Rap, the anger comes from they're angry at authority.
Yeah.
I get that. When I hear Tyler, I'm like, who am I mad at? Just being born?
Yeah, because sometimes that's what it felt like.
A lot of times, I mean, like, it started with, like, people trying to label him and stuff, and he's like, you can't label me. Like, I'm me. I'm not going to fit into any of these genres.
Right. Okay.
Which is fair.
Yeah. And
I identify with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was certainly an interesting performance.
And a lot of it, I mean, you know, growing up without knowing who his father is, and, you know, he's got a lot of, it's just him and his mom, so he just.
Maybe that's it. Okay.
Yeah,
that sounds like personal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least Eminem told me who he was mad at.
Yeah.
I'm mad at my mom. Right.
Well, mm-hmm. And Kim. There are several songs. He's got a song named Kim and a song named My Mom.
Right,
so, I mean, he's pretty out.
Eminem's pretty direct.
So. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. I'll try Tyler. I'll go from the beginning.
We'll talk later.
Okay.
Yes. Right. So, anyway, we saw them as we got to wrap this up because we're starting to now.
No, we don't.
Talk
we can keep talking. We can go as long as we want.
We can.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm going to be respectful.
This is probably going to be a shorter podcast, direct quote from Miles 30 minutes before we started the show.
I definitely.
And there
told
is
him
an
that,
edit
that.
Button. Oh, yeah.
I know. That's fine. Yeah. I really enjoyed this podcast.
Absolutely.
I like talking about just different things with you guys. I have a lot of fun doing it. But anyway, so we saw Tyler the Creator. Then we like moved up a little bit at the main stage. Then there was a DJ, and I can't remember who it was. And then we moved up a little bit more. And then there was this group, Haim. And they're like three sisters who are from the San Fernando Valley. So like they're kind of my homegirls. They're talking about Ventura Boulevard. And I'm like, oh, I live by there. So I know what you're talking about. And they played, but the reaction from the crowd was so interesting. One of the guys I was with was like, at one point I saw somebody who was clearly just waiting for Beyonce and they showed her on like the big screen or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she just like had fist against her face, just leaning down like, man, like you ever seen that meme with the guy and he's just like tapping his fingers and it's like, I'm not really enjoying this. I would just like Beyonce to start,
like,
please.
Exit the stage.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And that,
I
like, I sort of felt bad for Haim because of that. Like, they clearly had a lot of fans
That's
at
part
the,
of the
stage.
Business. Yeah.
Right. But they were not there for you. And then finally we got to see Beyonce.
Nice.
And there was a guy who, like, we were really pretty packed in like sardines and everybody, like, we stood there basically for an hour. I couldn't sit. People around me started sitting, and then, like, I was, like, in, I don't know, an 8x11 foot, like, piece of paper, basically, for my feet to stand, which was a little uncomfortable. So that's why your feet hurt even more. But then there was this guy. He comes up right before the concert. Beyonce is, like, about to start. So she was supposed to come on at 11:05. She was a little bit late. But it was, I don't know, 11:10. And he starts walking through, and he's got his phone in his hand, and he's like, oh, I'm looking for people. And then there's another woman who wasn't with us, but she was like, oh, this person? Oh, and she like put out a couple names and they were wrong, but she's like, oh no, her name is blah. And he's like, oh no, I saw her. She went that way.
Dang
back,
right. Dang
that
right.
way.
Yes.
And
get
then
out.
He's like, oh, well, and then so he stopped, like, right. There were a couple of women in front of me who were a little bit shorter than I am. I'm 6 feet, so I can kind of see. So he stops right in front of them, and I was like, dude, you need to move. Move, move. And he was like, oh, well, I mean, I'm looking for blah, blah, blah. And then he said something about, I can stand like in front of you since they're shorter. And I was like, I do not care how tall you are. And I said something worse than that I'm not going to repeat on this podcast.
Right. I've heard you.
I know. Yeah. I did. And then I basically kept telling him to move, and he finally moved.
Good for you.
And then the two ladies were like, thank you. Like, I appreciate it.
Nice.
I was like, yeah. I mean, like, we've been standing here for hours. Like, I'm not just going to let somebody come in here and ruin
and
our
cut
time.
The line.
It's not
I got
happening.
You. That's why they invented the bums rush. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. All right. Any parting shots before we leave?
Yeah. Well, I can't. Well, I guess I could.
Well,
I told you I spent half the night, stayed up half the night deleting everything related to Kanye West.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm very comfortable with that.
Yep.
That's my parting shot.
All right.
Yeah.
I think that's good enough for me.
Yes.
And I should probably go do the same exact thing. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Between the Horns. If you stayed with us for this long, we really appreciate it. And we always appreciate you coming and listening to our show and interacting with us on Twitter and everything
like
that.
In the show, Miles.
I'm getting there.
In the show, Miles.
I know. You can check out all our draft coverage on therams.com. For our producer, Matt, for DeMarco, for our Miles Simmons. We'll see you next time. What was that?